Captain Radio. Well, most people think that they can handle, prepare and cook food safely, but the stats actually tell us that most food poisoning happens in the home. With the arrival of the summer heat, the risk of food poisoning increases, and it can be very, very serious, particularly for older people and children. However, preventing food poisoning is quite simple if foods are handled, cooked and stored correctly. Joining us this morning from the Department of Health is Niharika Samaneni, Scientific Officer within the Food Environmental Health Team, to share with us how to safely keep food over the festive season. Very good afternoon to you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Jenny. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I think we are a little bit sort of blasé, are we not? Particularly when you've got lots of people around, the food is laid out and it's probably there a little bit longer than we would normally let it be so.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So what do you suggest?
So, food poisoning, obviously, I'm sure everyone's experienced food poisoning before, but we know that it can occur if you consume food that is contaminated. So most cases of food poisoning are caused by bacteria, which can grow quickly if the food is not handled, prepared, cooked, or stored properly. So there are different ways that food can become contaminated, such as if the food is not prepared safely, including undercooking meat, or when raw meat and ready-to-eat foods come into contact with each other, or when food is stored at unsafe temperatures that allows bacteria to grow. And another thing is when fruit and vegetables and eggs are contaminated, so that can cause food poisoning as well.
Mm.
So, yeah, generally food poisoning occurs through three steps. So the first step is for the bacteria to be present on the food. And then the second is when this bacteria has the right conditions to grow, such as things like temperature, nutrients, moisture, even acidity and gas atmosphere. Mm. And the final step is when the bacteria has time to multiply and then grow to unsafe levels.
Food poisoning can be prevented if
one of these steps is at least broken or prevented.
We have to go back to the first step. I'm sorry to interrupt there. The first step would be to prevent the bacteria in the first place. So what is the most common mistake that we do make when you say if you've got food preparation or meat preparation, which is common over the Christmas period, mm-hmm. with hams and roasts and that sort of thing? Just give us a guideline of how fast we should move on this.
So I would say, obviously, keeping it being clean is one of the most important things. So make sure you always, wash your hands and utensils thoroughly before you start prepping any type of food, and then place foods in washed airtight containers before transporting them, and always wash fruits and vegetables before serving them raw, especially because we all know we love our fruit salads and vegetable salads during summer. Another thing is, during the summertime, heat is one of the most important, one of the contributing factors for foods to get spoiled so quickly, especially high-risk foods, especially when they reach the temperature danger zone, which is between 5 degrees to 60 degrees Celsius, which allows the bacteria to grow and thus causing food poisoning.
So
to avoid this particular temperature danger zone is very important.
That's the trouble over Christmas. It's our hot time of the year. There's so much going on. There are so many distractions. People might have a backyard barbecue, which is probably not a bad thing because it's cooked and served immediately. But if you have a buffet style, a lot of food with hams and everything out in the open, and what people around, they take time to, they go back and get more. So what would be the time limit, do you think? Say, let's just say an average temperature in Perth, probably about 32 degrees on Christmas Day. Let's assume it's that. And you're in a home that's not air conditioned. Is that pretty dangerous pretty quickly?
It does, but there is a very simple rule that you can follow. So for most high-risk foods, you should never leave these foods out for more than 2 hours before refrigerating. So there's a simple rule called the 2-hour, 4-hour rule, which is a good way to make sure high-risk foods are safe even if it's out of refrigeration. So the rule has been scientifically checked and is based on how quickly microorganisms grow in food. And again, as I mentioned, between the temperatures of 5 degrees and 60 degrees Celsius is the temperature danger zone. So when we use this rule, it means, you know, it lets you know how long you can keep the food outside. So it's very simple. It's very simple to remember. Let me try and see if I can simplify it. So if the food is, if your high-risk food is left out less than 2 hours, the food can be used or it can be put back into the fridge for later use.
Right.
If it's between 2 and 4 hours, the food can still be used, but mostly you shouldn't put it back into the fridge. And if it's 4 hours or more, it's best not to consume the food. You should, you know, get rid of it or discard it. Yeah.
Do you know, two hours seems quite a long time, to be honest, in room temperature.
Yeah, it's been scientifically proven that, you know, 2 hours is pretty a good time limit. So you can put it outside for 2 hours, but anything after that, especially for high-risk foods, they need to go back into the fridge.
Well, you mentioned the high-risk foods, which are fairly obvious, I think, to most people, which were eggs, vegetables and meats. What about when you get to desserts where you've got dairy products like cream and that sort of thing involved?
Yeah, they're pretty high-risk foods, especially because, you know, you've got your ice creams and your milk or your dairy-based custards and other dairy-based desserts. So they're pretty high-risk. And so, as I said, again, when you apply the two-hour, four-hour rule and make sure that, you know, once you've eaten it or it's come out and served, it should immediately go back into the fridge,
You know, when you go supermarket shopping and come just the week before Christmas, you do tend to buy in that extra, you know, fresh poultry and meat and everything. How do you suggest that you do carry that product home? Does it need an Esky?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. That's a very good thing to do, especially during the hot summer weather. When you are going out, going out shopping, the general thing that we should be applying is that making sure that we put cold foods, making sure that our cold foods are cold and our hot foods are hot. So again, as I said, the temperature danger zone is between 5 degrees Celsius and 60 degrees Celsius. So anything below 5 degrees Celsius is good. So you should keep it at that temperature. Yep. Anything above 60 degrees Celsius is good. You should keep it at that temperature so that you can prevent the bacteria from going on your foods and then thus eliminating food poisoning or preventing food poisoning.
Yeah, preventing. So it would be ideal to have a couple of insulated bags, one for your hot foods and one for your cold foods.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Very good point.
Yep.
Very, very good point. Can you just elaborate a little bit? It probably might be a little bit out of your area of expertise, but the risk of food poisoning, I mean, the elderly, the young people are very susceptible and it's absolutely debilitating, isn't it? I mean, how bad can it get for people?
It can get pretty bad, especially for vulnerable populations, which is, you know, your elderly people, your younger children, and then you've got your pregnant ladies as well. If you do contract food poisoning, such as salmonella poisoning or listeria poisoning or listeria infections, you can end up in hospitals, and it can really vary. Sometimes it can be pretty mild and we think, oh, I just have a bout of food poisoning. But then it can definitely be very lethal. And then you can end up in hospital. And, you know, there have been quite a few cases of people, you know, really suffering due to food poisoning and actually altering your...
It happens pretty quickly, though, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It can happen very quickly. And it can happen... you know, it can take a couple of days as well. So often a lot of people, there is a myth, I wouldn't say it's a myth, but often a lot of people think, oh, the last food that I ate must be what caused food poisoning. But sometimes symptoms might not occur. You might have had something that was bad a couple of days ago, and then it took a couple of days for your body to... recognize the infection and then for it to come out. So it can be very quick, but it can take, you know, a couple of days as well.
We're going to have to be extremely mindful now that you've brought this out. When you have food poisoning, it's a matter of, you know, you're vomiting dramatically. What damage does it do to your organs? Anything at all?
I wouldn't actually know very
no,
much.
No, I'm pushing it. I'm pushing the limits here a little bit. But I do believe that, you know, if you've ever been overseas and mm-hmm. you've got, I think, something like that because you've eaten off a food stall somewhere, which you mean we're not used to, it's That's absolutely right. debilitating, and it really is very,
yes,
very...
I have experienced myself quite a number of times, yes. unfortunately.
Yes,
I feel your pain, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners as well have gone yeah. through at least once in their lifetime. out of food poisoning.
Is there anywhere people can go just have a look at a bit of a checklist on all of this, because it is important?
Yes. We've definitely got a lot of information on the Healthy WA website. So it's healthywa.wa.gov.au. So there's a lot of information on there.
Great.
It gives you some go-to tips to prevent food poisoning, the types of high-risk foods that can cause food poisoning, or and different things that you know that you can do to prevent it, and what to look out for and yeah. what to do in order to prevent it.
And we have to be mindful that this is the case ongoing, not just at Christmas time when
yes,
you have birthdays and so on. Just before I let you go, why is it not recommended to wash raw chicken and, well, the eggs of the shell? That wouldn't matter, I suppose, because you're only having it from inside the shell. But yeah. raw chicken, that's interesting.
Yes, well, raw chicken, you should never wash raw chicken. And I think a lot of people have this idea, oh, I should wash the chicken and then I can cook it. But really, you're spreading bacteria, whatever bacteria that's on the chicken, you would be spreading it onto your kitchen and the surrounding areas, so into your sinks and your countertops and other surfaces, which can make you sick. So the best way to prevent that is to actually cook your chicken, because when you cook your chicken, the high temperatures eliminate or they destroy the pathogenic bacteria that are on the chicken itself, so you don't need to wash the chicken.
Okay.
And you are buying your chicken from really reputable stores anyway, so they follow yeah. all these food safety rules and regulations in order to make sure that the chicken is in top-notch quality before it actually hits the stores.
You know, if we're not careful, we're living in quite a danger zone, aren't we? When you think how vulnerable we are.
That's true, yeah. So again, one of the best tips is if it's meant to be cold, make sure it's cold. If it's meant to be hot,
yeah.
make sure it's nice and hot.
Very
or at
good.
Least use the 2-hour, 4-hour rule.
Look,
that's a really good rule to follow.
That is great information. I've never realised you could leave it out for that long. So that is really interesting. And people can go to healthywa.wa.gov.au. Great information, and have a wonderful Christmas yourself. Thank you so much
Thank
for joining
you so
us.
Much. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. That was Neri Harikar Samanini from the Scientific Officer. She is Food Environmental Health Directorate.